that conversations that people have with Jesus, interactions where there's some level of back and forth between Jesus and the people he encounters. And today's scripture reading is a bit of a special case. This is a conversation that Jesus cut short, that he refused to engage in. And it may be that we can learn something valuable for life from what Jesus refuses to discuss. We can perhaps learn something just from the basic fact that there is such a thing as a conversation that Jesus won't have. The situation is simple. A man comes to Jesus with what amounts to a complaint. He's aggrieved by his brother. It's a dispute over an estate, which is common enough. All of you attorneys know all about this. He believes he's entitled to an inheritance or to a portion of one that he's not received. And he wants Jesus to intervene with his brother on the side of justice. In other words, he just says to Jesus, let's you and him fight. It isn't much to go on. But Jesus has already heard more than he cares to. And his response strikes me as a bit sharp. At the very least, it's impatient. Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you, a divider over you? Jesus is not a probate judge. And he's not going to put himself between this man and his brother in a quarrel over money. And instead, he takes the conversation in a totally different direction and tells this story about how worrying about money creates problems. He doesn't even wait to hear the details, to hear all the facts. This whole matter is outside the constellation of things Jesus thinks his life on earth is for. And it's a conversation that just isn't going to happen. So this conversation cuts short is one of several events in the life of Jesus that reflects what one theologian calls his passive acceptance of the basic structures of social and political life. Jesus accepts Roman authority, for example, as temporary but legitimate. He is not here to overthrow the government. And he says, people should pay their taxes. And it's the same thing with family. Jesus is not especially interested in the social structure that we think of as the family. He doesn't give advice, for the most part, about family life. And here's a good example. In our very story here, he's just not interested in the quarrel between these two brothers. But he takes family life for granted. And he holds up, for example, the ideal that marriages should be stable and faithful. This is not anything new to or unique to Jesus. It's what his culture took perfectly for granted. And he passively accepts it. He takes it for granted that there will be employers and employees. He takes it for granted that there will be wealthy people and poor people. And in our passage for today, he simply accepts that unjustly divided estates are part of life in the world, and it is not his role or part of his mission to fix that. If you listen very long in churchy circles, you could get the idea that the point of Christianity is to intervene on the side of justice in the world. But that doesn't seem to be Jesus' understanding of what he and his disciples are about. It's easy to get into thinking that Jesus should do something to stop people from behaving badly. Perhaps you've been there where this man who came to Jesus aggrieved by his brother's injustice was. Perhaps you've experienced something like that in your life. Perhaps it was even about an inheritance. People have the experience all the time that the money or the objects with financial and sentimental value end up with someone other than the person that the deceased meant to have. And in English and American law, we actually got the concept, I understand, of a trustee holding property in trust for someone else from the time of the Crusades. Some of you attorneys may want to correct me on this, but I read it in a history book that this idea of holding property in trust came from the time of the Crusades when Christians would behave badly toward each other. Crusaders would deed their property to a friend before leaving on the crusade with the understanding and kind of the deal that when the crusader returned, if he did, the friend would deed it back and it would go on to the original owner's heir. But very often what happened was that the friend would come into court and argue that he had valid title of the property and wouldn't give it back. They basically stole it. And so out of situations like this, the idea of trust law emerged. It's because of Christians, people, behaving badly. Justice like that is a good thing. But it turns out really not to be what Jesus is interested in. Something else about this man's situation gets Jesus' attention. He says, beware, instead of solving the injustice, he says, beware of covetousness. For your life does not depend and consist in the abundance of possessions. And then he goes on to tell a parable, just a little story he made up, about a man who focused his whole life on accumulating wealth. And on the day he decided that he had enough to retire, he died. Jesus perceives that behind this man's request for arbitration, there's an underlying problem that does matter. He seems to suspect that this man, like a great many other people in that time and this, grounds his identity in what he has instead of in who he is and who he is becoming. Jesus wants to question the underlying idea behind the dispute. He wants to question the motivation that authentic existence is connected to material wealth. Jesus has already identified his own family, not with brothers and sisters and parents, but with those who hear the word of God and keep it, he says. It's much more important that we be those people than to try to base life on the abundance of wealth. Jesus talks a lot about money, more than he talks about any other thing. Because he thinks that money is good for what it's good for. But it doesn't make a very good substitute for God. It's a question of loyalty, really. That's what Jesus says. Elsewhere in the Bible, he says you can't have two masters, two sources of value and priorities. Because both claim to have the last word on how you will spend your time and energy. And only one can really have its way. You will always use your time and energy to express what you really value. Jonathan Edwards puts it like this. He says that the will is as the greatest apparent good. The will, your deciding, is as the greatest apparent good. In other words, you are and you do at every moment what seems best to you at that moment. The problem isn't what seems best. That's where you stick in the lever. Jesus says you have to learn to see as best what He values, placing your trust in God. It's either that or trust in yourself and acquire as much money as you can so you don't have to trust God. You choose what seems best. Jesus isn't going to get tied up in squabbles over money between family members. There might be other things like that. It's a fair bet that He isn't going to get involved in any kind of over-focus on your self-interest. He's interested much more in who we are and who we're becoming. And His plans for you and your place in the universe are too big for small squabbles. Thanks be to God.